So, last night, I was at a party, a gathering at Tiffany's mom's house. Some of Tiffany's mom's friends and their spouses and our family just kind of gathered around. We had a good time. We had lots of conversation, and it was wonderful. And it was then that my mother-in-law presented me with this stole, which I had requested. I had asked that she make me one. And let's just say, if the bishop didn't see it, I didn't do it. But in the process of presenting me with a stole, she made it known to everyone in the room that I was a pastor. I was taught in seminary that the first two things that happen when people find out you're a pastor is they ask you to pray over the food, and then they apologize for cursing. But that's not what happened last night. The first thing that happened when they found out I was a pastor, one person said, "So tell me, are we in the end times?" So how's that for a theologically loaded question? I answered simply. I said, "No. No. We're not in the end times." And then I followed it up by saying, "People have been saying that we're in the end times for a good 1,500 years or more." Which is true. And it all comes from a particular reading of the books of Revelation and Daniel and certain pieces of prophecy in Scripture. And there's a certain way of reading it that no matter what time period or what era of time you're reading it in, boy, it sure sounds like that's what's going on now. I mean, they thought this in the 1800s. We're seeing all these signs coming to life now. And they thought it in the 1950s, and they thought it in the 1980s, and they think it now. A particular way of reading that kind of prophecy that makes it sound like we're seeing it unfold right before our eyes. Which is not to say that that reading isn't helpful or isn't useful. Because as a counselor, I had this saying. I stole it from one of the greats, but the saying is simple. Feelings aren't facts. Feelings aren't facts, and facts aren't feelings. You can feel like you're in danger when you're not. For example, drive me into the mountains. I will feel like I'm in danger when I'm perfectly safe, because I just have that fear. Lots of people feel that on an airplane, which is statistically the safest way to travel. They feel like they're in danger when they are not. You can also be in danger and not feel like you are. I mean, how many near misses have you had in your life where you go, "Man, I could have got hurt"? I'm thinking most of my life between ages 16 and 24. I took some unnecessary risks. I think we all have. And looking back, going, "What was I thinking? I wasn't afraid of anything then." It's important for us to be able to separate out when we feel like we're in danger but we're not, and when we're in danger but we feel like we're okay. And it's okay for us to feel like we might be in the end times, even if we know rationally we are probably not. Because your feelings, whether they're backed up by facts, are valid. They're yours. You own them. And they're real. And boy, it can sure feel like the whole thing's falling apart, can't it? It sure can feel like it's all crumbling around us. You watch the news? Do you feel like it's all falling apart right in front of our eyes? It's not the first time. But yeah. We see things happening that look like signs of the end times. We see things happening that look like apocalyptic to us. And we see things in front of us that look terrifying and scary. I worry about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that we just can't seem to get out of. I worry that while we can't get out of those wars, we might get into another one with North Korea. I worry about the lack of trust that the American people have in their government and all the things that our government has done to earn that. I worry. I know you worry. And I don't know about you, but I feel helpless. I feel like there's nothing I could do that would matter or make a difference in all of this chaos that's happening all around us. I wish that I could step outside the church and yell up at the sky, God, you need to come down here and do something about this. You ever feel like that? Lord, you have got to come down here and do something about this. Well, that's where Isaiah was in this passage. That is where Isaiah was in this passage. Oh, that you would crack open the sky and come down here. Your people have been disobedient. They have tossed you aside. They have embraced their own sin. They have had problem after problem after problem. And we're in so deep that it's going to take you coming down here to fix it. We can't do it ourselves. Boy, some stories are universal, aren't they? It feels that way. It feels that way to me. It feels that way to a lot of us. Oh, that you would split the sky open and come down here, and the mountains would tremble and the earth would quake, and we would know that you're doing something about it. That is the cry of someone who is losing their grip on hope. That is the cry of someone who's losing their grip on hope. I've been there. You've probably been there. Maybe you're there now. It's easy to feel that way. This is Advent. Candle one represents hope. The light represents light in the darkness. And as we ramp up toward Christmas, we feel the same despair, but also the same hope that Isaiah proclaimed, that God can come down here and do something about it. A little over 2,000 years ago, God did come down here and do something about it. And we call that event Christ. We call that event Jesus. And even today, in Christ's church, in the hearts of God's believers, God is cracking the sky open and doing something about it. I love that image of cracking open the sky so that God can get through. It reminds me of a lyric from Leonard Cohen, from the song Anthem. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. And that's how the light gets in. The light gets in through a crack in the sky. The light gets in through the fractures in our own brokenness. The light gets in through our broken hearts and our broken spirits. The light gets in through the desperate times and the difficult times. So when we wish and we cry and we hope for God to come down here and do something about it, hang on to hope. Jesus is coming. God is on the way. That is good news for Advent. Amen and amen.